WGR Sports Radio 550. It's time to take a look inside high school sports. Now, here's your host, Tony Caligiuri.
Inside High School Sports is brought to you by Minio and Sapio Italian Sausage. Taste the difference quality makes.
Good morning. Welcome to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri. Tom Prince is here from WNY Athletics. They're doing a great job. You guys are covering every game so far. Kyrie Demos from Niagara Gazette is here, and Roger Weiss. Francis Beck is out on assignment. I believe he is covering some volleyball action today, so we'll have to catch him next week when he returns. Yeah, Tom, you guys have been really busy. You're all over. You guys are doing a great job covering the games, broadcasting the games, and seems like it's been a lot of fun. What a great ride. This time of year, can you ask for anything better?
No, you really can't. And this was probably the first week you could actually say it may have been football weather.
Oh, yeah.
How cold it got and all the other elements that were coming into play. But this is no doubt an exciting time of year. I mean, now you're talking about it being, you know, we're at the stadium, right? This is the game that all these kids play for. And, you know, you definitely got to give a lot of credit to Frank and all the stuff he's done to be able to help get Western New York Athletics all over the place and make sure that these games are covered and be able to get some sort of media attention towards every one of these games.
And cool. Matt Todaro too. Got to give him some credit too for
all the guys that are out there doing it. They're out, you know, and it's good. I mean, we've got high school football and high school sports on the map in Western New York, and I know there's a strong following. I know, especially for this program. You know, I'm always surprised when I find out who's listening. Hey, you know, I tune in every week. I was talking to one of our local politicians. I tune in every Saturday. Like, wow, pretty cool. So good stuff. We're going to talk about the games from last night. We're also going to size up. It's hard to believe we're saying it already. We're going to size up the matchups at the stadium. That's next Friday and Saturday. Plus, we have Monsignor Martin. Their playoffs coming up. See who's doing what. Raj, and I know I always go to you first on this one, but for the last several weeks, I've been talking about the concession stand battle with NASA.
He's going to rub in these ribs.
I have to.
Ribs from now till the cows come home.
You know,
no pun intended.
But here's the thing, though, and it's not just, you know, with U Sports. It's high school. We go to the games, and what happens at halftime? You're hungry. Go to the concession stand. Those people work awfully hard. They put in a lot of time in their volunteers, putting in their free time to help the school out, to help the programs out. So they should be recognized, and I'm so grateful that they do. So here's a list that have received certificates, and this was held at the announced last Sunday at Sparky Adams Field, where NASA held its championships. All right, receiving certificates, Best Chili Dog, KAT, Best Pizza, Pendleton, let's see, Best Cheeseburger, Wilson, Best Taco in a Bag, Cheektowaga. Best Chicken Fingers, Black Rock. Best Loaded Nachos, Louport. Best Sausage Sandwich, Lockport. Best Biscuit and Gravy, Niagara Wheatfield. Best, and I never heard of this one, guys, Best Hot Apple Pie in a Bag. If you guys have ever had
hot pie in a bag.
Yeah, I'm trying to picture what it would be like.
Whipped cream in it?
I don't know.
I don't know. Is there anything like Bob's Pierogi sells that apple a la mode pierogi, so it's got to be somehow related to that.
Yeah. Well, TFC, Tonawanda Football Clinic, had that. Best Super Chowder. Can you guys guess? Wilson,
okay,
if you've ever been out there for a game and you smell that chowder in the air, forget it. Let's see. Receiving trophies, Best Service, Williamsville. Best Basic Food, North Tonawanda Athletic Association for their French fries. Best Specialty Food, Buffalo Vets for spaghetti salad and barbecue ribs. Oh, I could testify for those ribs.
Awesome.
As well as their
so
homemade
good
coleslaw, which is absolutely amazing. And the grand champion, as I predicted, the Buffalo Vets. So congratulations, Buffalo Vets. James Mallory's mom runs the concession stand there. She does an amazing job. So shout out to the Vets organization. I know a couple of their teams won championships, and the concession stand takes home the big prize.
What was that first one you said, KAT?
Yeah, Kenmore Tonawanda.
Oh, I thought, all I could say K, I thought of Kensington, and I just kind of, you know what I mean?
Mm.
Well, you know, you said K-A-T, and you didn't, you know, Anthony, you know.
He's always pushing the envelope.
You know I have a one-track mind.
He's always pushing the envelope. All right, time for our G&G Fitness Coach of the Week. If you would like to nominate a coach, simply go to lifefit.com, enter the name of the coach and why that coach is being nominated. Congratulations goes out to St. Francis's, Jerry Smith. What a job he has done with that team this year. Tom, you pointed that out yesterday. I mean, we always known Coach Smith has been one of the premier coaches in Western New York, so it really is no surprise what he's able to do.
Oh, no, he's a phenomenal coach, runs a phenomenal program. But to why Jerry Smith to get wins over a St. Joe's and a Canisius in the same year is just an unbelievable feat. And it doesn't matter who it is. If you can win both those games that are considered rivalry games, that's something that's got to be recognized. It really does. And even this year, if you look at it, most people out there, especially when you look at polls and everything else, think that the three Monsignor Martin teams are three of the top teams in Western New York, period. So to win over, in essence, okay, whether you want to say top three, top five, whatever, you've got two big wins over top five, top seven teams in Western New York, top three, I don't care what you want to use it, but you've got two major wins under your belt. Give Jerry Smith a lot of credit.
And not to mention, didn't you say they have one of the most potent offenses?
Two finalists for the Conley. I'd be shocked if they didn't.
If you remember, and I spurred a little controversy last time when I asked about the quarterback running back combo. But I mean, you're talking about. I mean, look about. When's the last time that you heard a quarterback could throw for 300 yards? And oh, by the way, the running back will try to match it and just miss 300 yards. You know, it's just unbelievable. I mean, that is a potent offense. Period.
No question.
And you know, you got to give Jerry Smith a ton of credit because he has done just wonders with that team. The early on was the question that a lot of people have is how is the line play going to hold up? And boy, have they just not only have they held up, but they've risen to the occasion and they've been really good in showing teams that, listen, we can stand with the best of them.
And you have to look at right now, I think, you know, logically you say St. Francis is the odds-on favorite to win.
Well, they still got to win one more against one of those two teams.
Right, but I mean, you know, if you look at how they've performed throughout the year, I think, you know, if you're in Las Vegas, you put them as the favorite. But this is Monsignor Martin, and anything can happen.
That's true, yeah.
And even, let's put Monsignor Martin out of it, trying to beat a team twice in a season is very difficult to do.
Especially like familiar programs like these, you know what I mean? And I think another thing to factor in, you know, this is a pretty veteran-laden group in with St. Francis. When you got a young Canisius team, you got a team in Joe's who's got some veteran talent, but you know, you gotta. It seems like they've been really just trying to get back to this level. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. they've been adding brick by brick over the last couple of years. So, you know, I feel like this is really the year that St. Francis has to, you know, feel that they are the favorite and to take advantage of that.
Bearing in mind too that you're talking about a young Canisius team. This young Canisius team is the only blemish on Maritime Charter's otherwise perfect season this year, and they whooped them. They didn't just beat them. So don't look at the, 3-5 record for Canisius. They deserve to be in the top 10, if not the top 5.
And speaking of Canisius, they are at Cardinal O'Hara today. Mm-hmm. I think that's a 1 o'clock kickoff.
1 or 1:30. It's early. Yeah.
Listen, if you are not at that St. Joe's Canisius game, you're going to miss something because that is going to be a game that you want to be at and a game for the ages, I'm telling you.
Even if they're not playing for a championship, that's a fun game to go to.
Now, is that at Joe's this year?
Yes, because Joe's has got the win, so it'll be at Joe's. But, I mean, listen.
That's next Saturday, right?
Yeah, you do not want to miss that game. That will be one that we will be talking about, will be one for the ages. These are two teams that want that win badly, and you'll see it out on the field.
It just stinks because you also have the games going on at the Ralph. So, you know, as a high school football fan, you know, how do you pick which one you want to go to? It's a tough call. So, I mean, if you're a Monsignor Martin guy, obviously you're going to go to that game.
That would probably be like a 1 o'clock game at Joe's, maybe 1:30.
Yeah, I would.
Which would be right in the middle of the D championship game a week from now, which I believe starts at noon, and the C, which I believe starts at 3:30. I know the A game.
C starts at 6:30, actually.
What is the A game at 3:30?
Oh no, it's the C game is at 6:30.
Well, then I guess the A game must be the 3:30 game. I thought the news had it the other way around.
There you go, thinking again, Raj. We warned you about that thinking stuff. It's
bad
dangerous.
Bad habit I just can't get out of, Anthony. It's not
dangerous
easy to
for
break
you.
Bad habits.
It's not good. And then, of course, this is Western New York, so you never know when weather is going to jump up and, you know, be part of the game. Like, hey, Mother Nature, I want to get in the game here.
She's it's already turned. Waving her
It's turned.
Her
it's
hand.
Waving, right?
Yeah.
we're talking. I've heard the S word could happen as soon as today in some places.
I could swear I saw flurries this morning, by the way.
Well, no, I guess up in, just down the street from me in the Boston Hills, they expect some precipitation in higher altitudes.
Didn't you guys get some yesterday?
Snow?
Yeah.
Not where I am, but I'm right close to the 219.
Okay. Because I thought, and I know saw some images on Facebook, some people in the South Towns posting pictures of that white stuff on their front lawn.
Actually,
lawns. Like, no, I don't want to see this.
Capaccio claimed that the precipitation that came late in the O.P. Bennett game, I thought he says it could be, that it's either rain or snow. He wasn't sure.
No, either way, I'm still trying to thaw out from Thursday night when I took the kids out trick-or-treating. We walked for almost 2 hours in the rain. Finally, and then Samantha finally, you know, the music to my ears. Daddy, I want to go home. Yes, yes, all right. Let's find your brother and get out of here. Oh, it was brutal. Now today I get to go home and battle leaves.
So you guys know I talk about Luke a little bit sometimes.
Yes, that was pretty cool. Go ahead.
23 pounds of candy he came home with.
Oh, my goodness.
Trust me. Made it a mission, I'll tell you that right now. Whether rain, sleet, snow, I don't care
what
it was.
Wait, did he break last year's record?
He did.
Oh, so he's going to go be a postman, huh?
No, he...
Neither rain or snow or sleet.
But he actually went out as... We kid, his nickname is the mayor.
It was
he
a
actually
great
went
costume.
Out as the mayor. He had a top hat on with a mayor sign, and he did it upright.
Oh, my gosh. I felt so bad for the kids in Lockport. Like, it was raining so hard, you know, kids weren't even around for an hour or two, and they got pushed back. So
we didn't, you know, before we went out, because what it was, we went to a buddy of mine's neighborhood so our kids could trick or treat together. And before we left, you know, I had a little bit of candy set aside. Wait, nobody showed up. When we left, I didn't see anybody, you know, in the neighborhood, but in where I am, if it's the slightest bit bad, you don't see any kids.
Yeah.
And
well, they figure if you weren't going to take your kid trick-or-treat in a neighborhood, they wanted to go to the higher echelon neighborhood as well.
Yeah, a lot of them go to Cayuga Island. You know, it's a wealthier neighborhood, and they get fun size. No,
yeah,
big size.
Full
size.
Full size.
And, yeah, you know, Samantha comes out of my house, like, I got a full-size Hershey. I said, no, you didn't get a full-size Hershey. Daddy got a full-size Hershey. Haven't you heard about the daddy tax?
Chocolate's not good for you, sweetheart.
It's only good for daddies. Do you go? Do you lay the dad tax on Luke?
Well, normally I do, but you know I'm in the process of trying to eat better and healthier.
This
so
is kill
I've
you.
Been no. You know what? I'm not a big snack guy. So like chocolate, I don't like chocolate. Actually,
really.
So to me, it's not a big deal. I'm not a sweet tooth guy. My
that's
problem
my kryptonite.
Is, yeah. See, my problem is I have 5 meals in a day. That's my kryptonite is food.
yeah, I have that problem too, I guess.
Those late night snacks.
Oh, there's nothing better. Well, the calories don't count. You know, if it's midnight, you're kind of in between yesterday and today, so the calories technically shouldn't count
towards the next day, right?
Yeah.
All
right, guys.
I was going to say, Tom, only 5 meals a day. Anthony would be.
I shrivel up. Hey, actually, Roger, you didn't hear this before you got here, but I had my physical on Tuesday and I actually lost a pound. So there. A whole pound. Now I need to go out and buy a whole new wardrobe.
Roger looks bamboozled right now.
What happened, you know, it was actually 2 hours before since he ate something. You know, usually he doesn't go more than an hour, so.
All right, let's get to talking some football, guys. You can follow along today's Buffalo News or in the Niagara Gazette. Double A semifinals, Lancaster taking down Jamestown 28-7. It was OP 21, Bennett 14. South Park in Class A over Grand Island 36-23. Class B semifinals, Maritime Health Science 42, Pioneer 7. Albion over Olean 21-14. Southwestern beating Chautauqua Lake, Westfield Brockton 49-6. And you had in Class D, Franklinville Ellicott 35, Salamanca nothing. So there's some of the scores from last night. First of all, I have to ask you guys, and I don't think you guys are surprised at any of the scores. Maybe how close the game might have been as opposed, but I think it pretty much went the way you guys had pretty much called it.
Yeah, I think we definitely called who. I think there were some outcomes of games that were shocking. Like, I was at the Maritime Pioneer game. I really thought that was going to be a tight one right to the end. So that surprised me on what the score and the outcome was.
Amen to that.
You know, no doubt there. I also thought that I didn't expect the Orchard Park Bennett game to be as close as they were, with DJ Perry out, you know, as well as
Justin Campbell was out.
Yeah,
there
Campbell
too,
out too.
So was Campbell out because of the hit? And
yes.
That was
Anthony.
There has got to be
an appeal process on something like that.
Well,
the films. Did you see the film of the hit?
Well,
game.
I was right on the right on the sideline.
And you were at the Bennett Niagara Falls game,
mm-hmm.
Anthony. If anybody initiated contact, head-to-head contact, it was the ball carrier, not the defender.
Yeah, he lowered
his
head.
And the film is clear on that.
That's always been a sticky point that I've discovered in the last few years is the running back, the ball carrier, putting the head down. You know, I've mentioned it when we talked last week about the proposed ban on youth football, and we talked about the safety measures. You know, as
don't
a defense.
Get me started on
that. By the way, there are petitions that you can go online and sign. They're circulating all over Facebook to save youth football. There's a site.
Good.
That's called Save Youth Football. You can find that. There, people are circulating petitions to sign. I've signed it. And I believe in January there's supposed to be a vote on this. So right now it's just a proposal. And, list I saw, there were several politicians that were signing on to ban it. So we'll see. I know there's going to be a... Angela Morinello is going to be, at North Tonawanda Little League, and there's going to be a rally to save it. I think that's at 11 o'clock when this program is over. So anyway, go back to, and talking about, as a defensive coach and heads up and how we keep the head out of the game. All right, so I have to teach my defensive players to put their head to the side. I mentioned hawk tacklings. We'll put the head to the side. It's a rugby-style tackle. But where's the responsibility on the offense? Mm-hmm. We know offensive linemen, they're taught to keep their head up so that there's no contact on the line. You're taught to get your hands up underneath the shoulder pad and the armpit, and you want to lift the defensive lineman, so to speak. You're trying to bring him straight up to take away any power that he has to go forward. That's how you're going to block. That's the way Coach McNally taught us a few years ago when we had him speaking to the NASA coaches. So where's the responsibility in the ball carrier as far as keeping your head out of it?
Yeah, that's a really interesting point. You know, you talk a little bit about that hit last week. Even last night at the Wilson Portville game, Drew Westmoreland, the linebacker from Wilson, he was knocked out of the game because one of the Portville running backs lowered his shoulder, was initiating contact. But it's like it's a tough line for the referees, because it's like
I'm not blaming the referee. Yeah. It was the right call to be out of the game, obviously.
Right.
But then there's got to be an appeal process to review. There's no way that he should have missed that game last night.
Absolutely.
That's my point.
Absolutely.
The problem, too, is if you don't have somebody filming every game and you're not able to look at several different angles, how do you review it? Then it just becomes hearsay, or who saw it, whose eyes were looking at it, what angle. Tom, how many times have you gone to a game and you're looking at a play from one angle, Kyrie may be looking at it from a different angle, and now you both have different opinions as to what actually happened?
No doubt, which is where I think Roger's trying to go with this by saying is, listen, there should be some sort of appeal, because I will tell you, live, things look much worse sometimes than actually when you see it on film and you get a chance to slow-mo it, really look at it. But you got to remember, is we're in a new world and with the technology. And the thing is, have we adapted with the technology to be able to make such an appeal process and play? Because right now it is, if it's something that happens during a game based upon what the official saw, it's not reviewable, period.
Yeah, and what I was going to say, what I was talking about with the ref, though, with the refs, though, is, you know, they're in a position where they've got to at least, you know, if they're seeing kids initiating contact as offensive players, that's got to be something that's becoming more of a consistent call. Because, you know, over the years, we haven't seen that, you know, implemented. But that was something that was just voted on in the NFL last year. You know, so you want to see it, you know, almost nixed out of the game a little bit. But it's something that's so ingrained in the culture of football. Oh, you know, he's lowering the shoulder on him.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, pick up more on that game and some of the other games, thoughts on what happened last night as well. As I said, we're also going to preview and kind of match up next week's contest at the stadium. You're listening to Inside High School Sports on WGR Sports Radio 550. We're back. You're listening to Inside High School Sports. I'm your host, Tony Caligiuri, along with Tom Prince from WNY Athletics, Kyrie Demos from Niagara Gazette, and Roger West. Oh, why do you do this to me every year? Now the microphone goes dead. Way to go, Raj.
Well, Monday it'll be my 47th wedding anniversary.
Wow.
47. Can you believe there's somebody out there that spent 47 years with me?
Man, that's that was negative 23 at that
That's
point.
Amazing. Happy anniversary. All right, back to the games from last night. And we were talking about the hit in the Niagara Falls game. All right, can pick up where we left off.
Yeah. It was especially like you talked about, you know, seeing things from different angles. You know, seeing, you know, you were on the Bennett sideline, right?
Yeah, well, that is the amazing thing about it. You knew something was going to happen because, you know, it's not like I was in the Niagara Falls sideline from here to you for a hit. I was on the opposite side of the field, and that was as loud a thing you heard. I don't know, were you in the press box?
No, I was this far away.
Well, that must have been ear-crushing that. It was loud.
It was
crazy. Yeah, we knew there was going to be a flag. The only thing we didn't know was it helmet to helmet or shoulder pad to shoulder pad. It was as soon as, three officials threw the fifth leg.
Oh, yeah.
So we knew it was a helmet to helmet deal.
I think the thing that they saw was, well, you know, this kid's laying motionless after the hit. They see, you know, he's a quarterback, too. So the tough thing is, like, when does a quarterback give themselves up on a run, you know? So that's the tough thing. I think Humphrey Goldsmith slid a little late, but at the same time too, like he didn't do himself any favors.
Okay, so that led to Bennett being without their player, without the.
This is now.
And this was after the quarterback got hurt too. So in what almost back to series to series, because if I remember, the quarterback got hurt down by the corner of the end zone.
Perry got hurt. He was diving into the end zone in the first quarter, like 5 minutes into the game. So then this is Justin Campbell, their backup running back, who the week before rushed for like .175 against Niagara.
And I don't know if I'd call him a backup running back. Yeah. I'd call him as a side-by-side running back to DJ Perry. You know what I mean? Yeah. Those two are
1A
that
and 1B.
Yeah, exactly.
He might be one of the most versatile guys on that team, too.
Oh, definitely. Because, I mean, he's arguably their best defensive
linebacker.
Yeah.
And leader.
Yes.
Okay, leader of that team. I've watched him actually even pregame the way he is with his team. That is a leader out there on his team, and that's a big loss to the whole team. So, you know, to flip it, to now see what we saw against an Orchard Park team where you're down two of your best players, and it sounds like Pompey was the one who actually steps up in this Bennett and actually was able to run the ball. Mm-hmm. Give them credit. Wow, they came out, you know, swinging and said, we are in this game. We're playing for the stadium. And, you know, Bennett was ready to play this game. There's no doubt. Orchard Park comes up big. They are down in this game. So you've got to give two things I've been talking about early on in the season. One, Orchard Park had to find a running game. Kulikowski actually is back. Kulikowski runs for over 100 yards against Bennett. Plus, Sharp comes up big late in the game. He has a big touchdown pass to Peter Libertori. Seems like Peter Libertori has been one of his favorite targets so far this year, especially underneath those short passes to be able to turn into some big passes. And then I think it's a 72-yard run play by Sharp to be able to take the lead for Orchard Park. So again, Sharp says, you know, I've done it all year long. I've done it against some of the best teams. Sharp steps up. Orchard Park gets a chance. Now we can actually say, is this truly the rivalry coming up? Because now we see one of the biggest rivalries in Western New York, Lancaster Orchard Park, back there.
Yeah, because they've never played before. No, it's never. They've never had
not
a good
last,
game.
Not until they haven't played in the last 2 weeks.
No. Just and it's crazy too because you know these programs. I mean, as great as AA has been, you know, these are the two top premier programs in AA, especially over the last decade or two.
Yeah, well, we throw in Jamestown, too, as well, and then Clarence makes an appearance a few times. So, yeah, I mean, AA's traditionally has been a tight thing. You know, once in a while we'll have one team run away with it, but, they're competitive.
Yeah,
but those teams are normally special. Jamestown, congratulations to Rich Carlson. Remember him from Jamestown?
Mm-hmm.
He has been added to the 53-man roster for the Cleveland Browns.
Wow. Cool. That's huge.
Yeah, that's huge. I was, you know, my wife found that on Googling through all the whatevers and all that. In fact, I guess it was in the Buffalo News, so not in the, I don't know if it was in the paper today. I haven't looked at the paper today, but it was on the website there. I don't know if he's going to be active Sunday. But wouldn't that be something if he ends up playing against the Bills in, what, 2 weeks or whenever it is?
Sure. That'd be pretty neat.
That'd be cool.
So, Tony, you said, were we surprised about any games here?
Yes.
So, I'm not surprised about Lancaster winning, but there had to be a pick'em game going into it, okay?
Absolutely.
Like, a lot of people didn't know who was going to come out, and that was a
especially
long...
Especially because Jamestown was the home team.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, from what we understand, Savon Van Sickle does not play in this game, right? Which is a big loss for Jamestown. Don't know why, so I don't even want to speculate or anything is, but he did not play in this game. But I will tell you, we said it beforehand, one of the best coaching staffs in Western New York is Lancaster. They made the right adjustments. They were ready to play in this game. But listen, Jamestown, you are a powerhouse about to happen.
Yeah.
Freshman quarterbacks, sophomore running backs, what's coming up in JV, what's coming up on this freshman team, this is going to be a team where watch out, Western New York, because you are going to hear some great things that are about to happen with Jamestown.
Watch out, New York State.
Yeah, well, not only Jamestown, when you look at the success of their JV, Lancaster's JV was very successful as well this year. Both teams are, you know, collision course in the future as well. But you're right. At your point about the Lancaster coaching staff, the adjustments that they're able to make, the understanding. Now, you told me something I didn't know. Coach Rupp is now up in the booth watching the game as opposed to being on the sidelines.
He's made that adjustment. He says he can see the game better. And the reason why we keep saying coaching staff is because he really believes in that entire staff that he has. So he knows he can be up in the press box and still have a phenomenal staff on the sideline.
I still say it's all Sean Brusso, but that's just me.
Well, I know Sean is going to love to hear that anyway. So.
No, that's a great point, though, about Savon Van Sickle. Yeah. I mean, that's how you hold a Jamestown team to 7 points. You know, I saw that score and was really, like, surprised. Like, man, like, to go into Jamestown and do that.
It was 21-0 at one point.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So just to know what Lancaster – but listen, there's also no surprise. Listen, this is Lancaster's time to play.
That's true.
He gets to the stadium again. Think about it. Since Coach Rupp has taken over this team, he's been to the stadium every single time.
Is that 5 years in a row now? 4 or 5 years in a row?
Right. Every single time.
Man.
What does that say for that coaching staff right there?
Coaching matters!
You know, Coach, listen, you deserve all the credit in the world, and you know, we'll show it. But I actually got a chance to see the Maritime game, the Maritime Pioneer game. And
that big old offensive line of theirs?
Listen. Their skilled players right now can match up with just about anybody in Western New York. You're talking about 4 guys that could run the ball and run the ball effectively, right? At one point, you've actually seen Addison Copeland, Makai Bridgers. You've got John Washington with his brother, Jayon Washington, also behind the helm, and Maurice Vaughn. All at one point are running the ball. And they just ran the ball all over the field. whether it was up the gut, whether they broke it out to the outsides, it was unbelievable. The plays that they had, the game starts off, Pioneer gets the ball first, goes three and out, punts it off, and then a 65-yard return for a touchdown to go there to start the game off.
Oh, and that's a dagger right there. When you give up a special teams touchdown, that's a dagger.
Then they go, Pioneer goes three and out again, punts it. This time they get a chance to get their offensive on the board, and then 69 yards for a touchdown to get game two, to get touchdown number two. Then touchdown number three is a 35-40-yard interception back for into the house. They're up 21-0, and it's like 8 minutes still left in the first quarter.
Yeah, you're demoralized just, by that point.
It was just unbelievable. It didn't matter whether it was special teams, whether it was defense, whether it was offense. They won every facet of the game. And there was actually a second one that was run back for a touchdown on special teams that got called back due to a penalty. Otherwise, there would have been two special team touchdowns that would have been run back.
And as a coverage unit, you still see that and are demoralized. Like, man, we just gave up one of these guys. Now they're running it back again. And, yeah, it's called back. But, man, that just instills fear into you.
Yeah.
Tom, quickly, your thoughts on Terrion Vernon, the lineman for Maritime?
This
guy was a monster.
Pioneer couldn't move the ball. They really
nobody
could
move the ball against this guy. And he plays 60 minutes.
Now,
48 minutes.
Pioneer did have a running back, Trey Hill, that actually did very well in this game. So I don't want to take anything away from Trey. Trey actually had a very good game, but he fought for every yard he had out there. When he got through that line, it was fight, fight, fight. There was one play, in fact, that Trey had run the ball up the middle, was about 3 yards short of the first down, and then you watch this whole pile move across the first down, and it was because of Trey keeping his feet, making sure that he kept moving, making sure he was doing the right things. But boy, give that guy, he had a lot of heart in this game, and he was not giving up no matter what that score said on the scoreboard. So Trey, great game.
That was, like I said earlier this year, somebody forgot to tell all those Pioneer kids that Riggerman graduated.
Yeah, oh my goodness, that's so true.
The, you know, Conley Cup winner from a year ago, because, Riggerman, who? Never heard of them. You know, that's how good they were.
That was ancient history.
And I thought that, like I say, I thought if there was a team that could beat Maritime, it was Pioneer.
And the three other games before we go to the break, guys, that I wanted to get your comments on: the Albion-Olean game and the Southwestern Chautauqua Lake Westfield Brockton game and the Franklinville-Ellicottville Salamanca game. I mean, you guys have been mentioning all year about Franklinville-Ellicottville, so not much of a surprise there.
Not really.
35-0.
I think we're all waiting that, you know, we don't want to assume anything, but the favorite will be today, will be CSP will be the favorite in their game.
And we'd have to assume that because 2 weeks ago they beat Randolph like 34-0.
Yeah, that's
right.
True.
Which just bodes what we've been waiting for, the rematch of Franklinville-Ellicottville versus CSP that we're hoping to see at the stadium. And honestly, this really could be talking about the state matchup right there,
state championship
between those two teams.
No doubt.
You know, another one. How many times have we talked Southwestern versus Wilson?
Seriously,
they have played gems, unbelievable matchups, and we're going to see that matchup there again too. How about, here's two teams we haven't even talked about yet. South Park McKinley in a championship matchup.
That's going to be a phenomenal
game. You know, right there you've got what we've seen is McKinley wins 7-0.
7-0.
7-0 against West Seneca West.
And that was a pick six, I believe.
So you're talking about a defensive gem of a game between both teams that are out there. Listen, I've gotten a chance to see this McKinley team play. They can play on the line. They can play. They've got skilled players. This game with South Park is going to be a game. There's no doubt. It's going to be the skilled players of South Park versus the line and defensive play of McKinley. The question is, who's going to actually win as far as, you know, their strength?
We're looking at a Harvard Cup battle being held at the stadium.
Yeah, at the Nerf.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting too. You know, South Park's taken some punches the last few weeks, but they've gotten, you know, they've taken them, you know, and given out punishment themselves as well. You know,
can you say that this is going to be a game of whoever does a better job of protecting the ball?
Could be. That's where the defense would come into play. You know,
McKinley's hard to figure out, Anthony, because they seem to play up or down to the competition. The team that beat Kenmore West, all the good things I heard about Kenmore West, and McKinley had their way with them. Then you look at some of these other games, it's like they're just getting through it. Well, if they did that to Ken West, they should have annihilated some of these others,
yeah,
and they haven't.
For sure.
But, you know, hats off to West Seneca West, too. That was a good team. They were, what, the third seed?
Yeah,
third seed. Obviously, the A1s were, I think, a little bit stronger than the A2s this year.
Yeah, I think the A2s got – it was tough. There was a few different scenarios with the A2 teams that
other than South Park, obviously. And then, of course, Star Point, they were decimated with injuries by the end of the year.
Yeah.
A healthy South Park Star Point team might be a different story. We will never know.
Yeah, we will never know.
All right, guys, let's take a break. When we come back, more of Inside High School Sports. Kind of size up the matchups that are going to happen at the stadium. Get your opinions on that. Don't forget, Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. And tonight, the Sabres and the Islanders. Sabre fans are a little worried on social media last night. Let's hope that they bounce back today. Don't forget, tomorrow you're going to want to keep it locked right here on WGR Sports Radio 550 for all of your Bills Redskins coverage. We'll be back with more Inside High School Sports. We're back. One last segment of Inside High School Sports, and then Sports Talk Saturday follows us at 11. Keep it right here on WGR Sports Radio 550, talking about the games last night. And Kyrie, you did want to talk a bit about the Wilson game.
Oh, yeah, Wilson and Portville. First of all, hats off to Portville. They finished the season 7-2, and, you know, I was saying this, you know, if there's not a Southwestern team in the C-South, that game last night is a game you want to see at New Era Field, because this was unbelievable. You know, Jaden Lassiter got to 25 touchdowns on the season last night. But just a back-and-forth game between them and Wilson. Opening kickoff return ran back by the Lakemen with Drew Westmoreland. Portville responds, and then they take advantage of two muffed kickoff returns by the Lakemen. But, yeah, back-and-forth effort. And then just the way the game closed out, Portville had a fourth down touchdown for their final score. Then Wilson, they go down. They have a they've got a third down conversion in a 2-minute drill to go down and score. And then Declan Ferry, you know, one of the best two-way players in all of Western New York, but especially in small schools. This kid, you know, he's the leading receiver for the team at the time, in the game, but on the season as well. To close the game out, he has a he deflects
the ball. Was it 66 yards or something like
66
that?
66-yard catch and run from Atlas to Andriola. But, yeah, after that score, Portville's trying to drive, and, yeah, Ferry deflects the ball up to himself, picks it off to seal the game. I mean, this kid is amazing. I wouldn't be surprised to see him at a, you know, 1AA school playing Division I football at some point. You know, he's got the size. He's about 6'4", 6'5". But, yeah, just hats off to Coach Atlas as well. You know, this is the first time that they've finished undefeated in the regular season.
Their first trip to the stadium.
Third. Third time, but first since 1990. And the last time they did it, their defensive coordinator, Coach Ferry, Declan's father, was on the team.
And wow.
He set the record for sacks in the season that year, and Declan might have just broken it last night. So
whoa.
Hats off to them. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And they get to wait one more game before they play Southwestern to get to the stadium,
right,
which is big. And, you know, another shout-out is that we didn't talk about in the Orchard Park game is Orchard Park got a chance to get their star back, too, which is Pataki. Mike Pataki, actually, 13 solo tackles, 14.5 tackles in his game.
Wow.
You know that defense led by Coach Sen, the defensive coordinator, who's done a phenomenal job defensively with these kids this year, is going to be ready to play. So this is now... this is going to be a game. Like, if you look about that Lancaster game, that Lancaster Orchard Park game, this is the game that Pataki gets hurt in, right? Mahoney has a huge hit on Pataki, and he's going to get a chance to now play in this game. You know, be ready. Both these teams are going to be ready to play this game.
Do you think that might be the tightest game at the stadium next week?
Man, I don't know. Listen, that's going to be a tight one. I think South Park McKinley's going to be a tight one.
Yep.
You know, who knows what the Franklinville-Ellicottville CSP game's going to be. I know Franklinville-Ellicott was big, but that's, to me, is going to be another close game.
The Albion game?
The Albion Maritime game, I will tell you, I do think Maritime's got a little bit more of an advantage in that game, but absolutely. Listen,
Albion's offense can put up yards and points, no question about that. Yep. But as you've been talking about with Maritime and the size of their line, and then you throw in the speed of their skill players, that's tough to overcome.
It really, and not only that, it's not one, two skilled players.
No, right.
I mean, you're talking four guys that can run the ball at any time.
Yeah. That's tough to prepare for. Yeah,
they do. They go into a wishbone. They go into three back sets. They go into multiple sets from the running back position that will confuse you as to who's going to get the ball. Not that they're not going to be ready to understand that it's going to be a run, but you could run three different ways off what the set is, and it'll be, the question is, are they going to be able to read it the right way? In other words, to capitalize on it. But Albion's definitely another strong team that's going to be in the mix. Listen, these games are all going to be great. Like I said to you, I'm of course kidding when I say it, but not kidding at the same time. Is this is like another rivalry week as far as I'm concerned, with how many matchups that you're talking about that are legitimately rivalries within Western New York, but can't play rivalry week because of another scenario.
Right.
But these are some big rivalries right here.
Oh, yeah.
And when you think about it, it's not just rivalries. You're talking about heavyweight battles. I mean, this is, you list all the greatest heavyweights of all time on one card, and this is basically kind of what it's going to be like. And if you're a fan of high school football, how do you, first of all, how do you pick which game you're going to want to go to? You might as well pack a lunch and decide to be there all day. It starts Friday night, then into Saturday afternoon. You're going to have your fill of good high school football.
I mean, the Wilson-Southwestern game, two undefeated programs that, I mean, these are two small schools, too. These are, I mean, no more than 25 kids on either side.
I think Wilson had 23 on their roster,
A lot of small rosters. Maritime, I think, only has 26 on their roster at this time.
Really?
Yep. I mean, you go up and down. The only big rosters are your two AA teams, which will have, upwards of towards 40 to 50 kids on each one of those teams. But, I just love these matchups, from a coaching matchup to the players matchup.
To rivalries, like you were saying, too.
Different styles.
I've been as a part of this Orchard Park Lancaster rivalry, not only as somebody in the media, but I've also been there as a parent.
What
I mean? And listen, it's fun. It really is. Like, it's two teams that respect one another, but at the same time want to beat each other really bad, right? And Coach Rupp and Coach Dana, I know, are going to have their teams ready. Two of the best coaches, around, that I have unbelievable respect for, and I know that they're going to have their teams ready to play.
And historically, if you win this game, you've got a chance to win it all. You've got a chance to win states.
Well, double A is going to be really difficult.
Yeah.
It's so tough to get past Section 5.
That's true.
But once you do, if you get past Section 5, you definitely have a shot.
Listen, absolutely, that winner that comes out of the Section 5, Section 6 game is normally the team that goes on to the stadium,
generally,
if you see it.
Generally.
So, it will be a matchup of the heavyweights. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
And Tony, everything starts this week on Tuesday. So Tuesday is media day. You're going to see all the interviews. You're going to hear all the talk. You're going to hear from these kids, hear from these coaches, and get a chance to be able to hear all the great things that we're going to about to see at the stadium. You're going to hear about people that are going to be up for Connolly Cup finalists. Yep. They're there. We've got people from South Park that'll be Connolly Cup finalists, Maritime, Southwestern, Orchard Park, Lancaster. You're going to hear all of them.
Mm-hmm. So, not just Connolly, but Trench as well.
Trench, Sophie, too. Absolutely. And I apologize. I don't want to downplay the Trench either, but you're going to hear some of these great athletes. Look out on social media, because you're going to hear some great interviews along the way.
Oh yeah, can't wait for media day. Should be fun.
The whole thing is a blast. I mean, if you've never gone to the stadium for a game, part of me wishes it was somewhere else, because to get it loud. But when you're putting two schools together, and it's just, the stadium is so big, that the crowd doesn't really get loud, or you don't notice it as well. But the players get so excited. You're going out on the field that you've grown up watching since you were a little kid, and now you get. I mean, I I can't imagine what that would be like as a player. So, you know, you got all that, throw that in there, but I just wish it was in a smaller, where you could really feel the crowd.
It does almost give you like a different appreciation, though. Like when you look up and you see, man, it's just the fans from these two schools. And, it's, you know, you got maybe 30% of that sideline filled up, and you know the other sideline might have 40% of the stands filled up. But it just is so cool to see, man. It's all black and red. It's all,
and the good thing about being at the stadium is the visuals on the scoreboard.
Yeah,
you know, when you watch the replay, that stuff is great.
Yeah.
So, all right, guys, thank you much. It's been a great show. Tune in next week where it'll be all about the playoffs at the stadium and kind of try to figure out who we're going to see out of Rochester. All right, back for next week with more Inside High School Sports.